Well, how many of y'all are glad that our God never changes? He is unstoppable. He's incredible. He's worth worshiping. How many of y'all found God's worth worshiping? This thing's worth giving your life to. It's worth moving on in. And so now here's what we're dealing with today. This is going to be a tubby, all right? We're going to get to that section of Scripture where we got to deal with this thing that just doesn't walk well in our culture, so we think. Did y'all realize there is an order between the husband and the wife? And that order does not elevate the husband above the wife, nor the wife above the husband. However, if the order is kept, it does elevate God's activity in the marriage. And what we have done in this new culture is I think we run blind. I can't see this. How many of you notice there is a distinct difference between men and women? And praise God for that difference. Amen. I think we need to praise God for that difference. So here's the way I try to say it to people. We are equally different, but we're not the same. Just be married for a day. We are not the same. We don't think the same. We don't like the same foods. We don't watch football the same way. Men don't stand in front of the TV. Women do. Men are addicted to remote controls because they're control freaks. Women would rather talk. We would rather stare. Women can use real words. We grunt. You see, there's distinct differences, yeah? But when we talk about the order, sometimes we think the order kind of looks like this. And I think from this scene, you're going to see just a moment where this order in this relationship of a husband and wife, I think it really comes together. So for just a moment, I want you to watch this clip because I think it may explain it the best I've ever heard it explained. And that's the way it works most of the time. I love the line in that clip where, and I think it really works together like that. How many of you can own, the husband has been appointed to the head of the house? And ladies, let me tell you what, you do not want a man that will not take his leadership role as the head of the house. If you're searching for a husband, please do not engage in a non-leader type male. Wait until they grow up enough to become a leader. Amen. Now, watch this. Here's the good news. All males are capable of being leaders. They're designed that way. That's what God made them to be. So anytime you have a husband that's not making effort in the household to lead that household, to take care of life, we are going against our design. God designed us to care. And ladies, guess what? God designed you to enhance. Think about it. In the garden, Adam was there by himself. And what happened? He was lonely. He didn't have directions. Didn't know how to find the way. He didn't have a helper, didn't have a mate, didn't have a suitable companion. And what did God create? And where did a woman come from? Adam, man. And note this, men, if you really want to know, you have to know a little bit of Hebrew to know why you know absolutely nothing, or why we know absolutely nothing about a woman. The word for God put Adam asleep there in Hebrew is really this word. Adam went into a coma. And then he woke up and he said, whoa, man, there she was. And so God put us together to live life. Now, I think there's an overriding scripture when we talk about influence and order, and it's this. The Lord Jesus Christ has come so that we might have a full and abundant life. Everybody got that? We're supposed to have a full and abundant life. For every one of us in this room that has said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, full and abundance is our expectation because that's what God has threaded in our situation. Now, he goes and tells us, as you live out your daily life, keep order in your daily life. Keep order in your daily life. But there are going to be problems in daily life. How many of y'all understand? There are just going to be problems. And this is the early Christian movement as this letter is spun. And then he writes this. Remember, he told us, be in line with the government. You don't have to buy everything they say, but you need to be an influence. And to be an influence, you need to be doing good things and not rebel type things. How many of you notice that most people that just rebel with a bunch of volume never make a difference? I go back to Dr. Martin Luther King. He created a revolution, not just a situation of rebellion. And I find today in our culture, in our moment of time, we have a lot of people that are always rebelling, but none of them have enough influence to make a difference. Am I correct on that, Reed? They're always mouthing, but there's not a lot of grip to them because there's not a lot of salt in their walk. Make sense? Their rebellion is over an issue instead of something that becomes a revelation, which a revelation becomes a revolution. Does that make sense? Because watch, it was honestly what Dr. King was talking about was true, wasn't it? All people ought to have an equal right in this country to succeed. What do you think? Is that true or not? Here's what King was saying. The pigmentation of your skin, no matter what pigmentation you have, it should not make a difference on your opportunity. Watch this. I think King would speak against reverse prejudice. Because his issue was what? Prejudice, not color. Today, what do we hear about? We don't hear about prejudice, we hear about color. So we got to attack evils that are in society. Prejudice is an evil, no matter how you slice it. Make sense? God says, I want you to have opportunity to be in order and to do things what? Well, with full and abundant life. Now, watch. Let's look at our marriages. How many of y'all would agree that probably in the last 40 years, we've kind of train wrecked this whole thing called marriage in American society? We have a 55, it's bouncing depending on what study you read, it's 54 to 56% divorce rate inside American culture. Now, I'm not going to go, don't go feel guilty if you got a divorce, okay? Let's just look at this, though. What happened to marriage? We got it totally out of order, and here's basically what 1 Peter's saying for two whole chapters. Don't get things out of order and expect a blessing. I don't know why I did this. I did it in school. I did it in college. I wouldn't study for the whole semester, expect to cram a week for a final and make an A. Why did that not work? Anybody got any ideas? Especially help some of these who will be leaving to college shortly. It's out of order. It's out of order. So husbands and wives, for those of you that share the marriage relationship, I want to give you just a couple things this morning. Our marriages ought to illustrate that we worship Jesus Christ. People ought to be able to look at our marriages and say, that's what marriage looks like for people who follow Jesus Christ. That marriage ought to look distinctly different than just two people who get married without Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. The marriages for those who follow Jesus Christ don't look a bit different than those who have no relationship with Jesus Christ whatsoever. The church shares the same divorce rate as people that have never been to a church. You know why? Because I think we're out of order. And you can't expect, y'all need to write this down, because some of you want to be out of order and expect a blessing. It's not going to happen. These are fundamentals. And guess what? You can, the longer you live, y'all don't believe this in here. Now, 11 o'clock, y'all got to help me because they don't believe this in here at 11 o'clock. They don't believe a lick of it. How many of y'all found this? I cannot violate the fundamental principles of life and expect great things to happen. You know why we believe that? We have violated enough of them and know they are going to hold up. Not true? That's the thing about getting a little age on you. You have violated those principles. And guess what? I finally figured this out. You don't get a speeding ticket if you go the speed limit. They never give you a ticket for going a speed limit. I've never been pulled over and said, sir, you were going 70 miles an hour. That's the speed limit on Tennessee. You were going 70 miles an hour, and I want to write you a ticket for going 70 miles an hour. I have never gotten a ticket for being inside the law. And then guess what I found out? There's really freedom. I used to drive in such a way, I mean, you know, the dog catcher could come by, and if the car had a light on top of it, I slowed down. Because I knew I was out of order. How many of y'all are like that? How many of y'all slow down even if you're not in violation? Guilty sinners. See, that's what it is. That's a guilty conscience. I slow down for the times they should have caught me. You see what I'm saying? Huh? But watch this. When I'm out of order, what's that producing? I got to live in what? I got to live in fear. Now, let's talk about the order here. Ladies, I think that this is just a great clip. I think the head and the neck's a good way to call it. Amen? Huh? How many of y'all husbands really think you're in charge? Now, leadership is not dictatorship. See, this is where we're all confused. And a lot of ladies, they don't want to listen to what the Bible has to say about submitting to things because in their mind, the devil's planted this, you know, junior Hitler husband type that's barking out orders and they're, you know, the husband's there and his lazy boy kicked back with his remote and she's bringing him iced tea and coffee and everything else that's going on and she's pampering him and that's life for him. He gets to bark out an order and he gets things. What? Now that's the other movie, The Stepford Wives. That's that movie. All right, not going to get it. But guess what? The head and the neck must work together. And let's look what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Now, what does that mean? What does that word submissive be? Listen, understand, and communicate. That's submissive. Sometimes when we get out of order, women sometimes have a tendency to want to be demanding, controlling, and nagging. Have you all ever seen this? Notice how careful I'm walking these lines this morning. Have you all ever seen this? Well, I tell you how bad it is. Sometimes I don't like to be around my buddies' wives because they're women, I'm going to tell you something. You can go to all prayer meetings you want to go to, and you walk around, dance around holy as you want to, but when you get with your husband, and you're running that mouth in public, and you're bashing him, and you're dogging him, you just shredded ever holy activity you ever went to. There's a word I will not use, but they use that in culture. Rhymes with a Halloween character. And people do not think you're a godly woman. They think you're that. Now, that's what they do. I'm telling you, watch this. What, you want me to stand here and lie to you? And just sit here and say, well, people could watch. Well, watch this. Husbands in the same way. You can go to church. You can be a deacon. You can quote your Bible verses. You can stand up and listen to your Christian music. You can put on your WCVK. You can go through all these little holy activities that you think are promoting a good witness. You can wear your WWJD bracelets and put on, you know, Jesus was a football player, he'd make a touchdown shirt or whatever holy apparel you want to wear. But I tell you what, in public, if you are degrading your wife, if you're not a, watch this, I think you ought to open the door for her. You ought to treat her as the one that is more worthy to you than anybody else. If you're not doing those things, if you're yelling and you're screaming and you're hollering and you're acting like you're uncorked, guess what? You've just voided every bit of your witness. You say, how do you know that? I've done it. It's a serious issue. Because he says, guess what, wives? How many of y'all have this situation? For some reason, women come to Jesus better than men. How many of y'all found that to be true? Most churches other than Hillview are filled with women, not men. Do you realize that? Hillview is one of the rare churches in America. It has almost more men than women. You know why? You know why? Order. I also believe this. When pastors act like women, it messes the church up. I'm serious. When pastors refuse to lead their church, the church then can be led by the devil. Make sense? One's not better than the other. We're not saying that being a male's better than being a woman. We're saying, though, if you're a woman, you need to act like a what? Because that's what you are. I think it's gross when women try to act like men. I personally, just for me, has a personal effect, it's even grosser when I see men trying to act like women. Now, does that mean a woman can't participate in athletics? Heavens, no. Just be a woman participating in athletics. I used to be in the speech communication department at Western. It was so funny. All the women, I was there when the women's live moment was zenithing up into the age, and everybody was demanding their rights. And And I would ask people, just because I like to get people mad, I would ask them, if they were so offensive about men, why when they spoke, they tried to speak like one? I said, if men are so rotten, so bad, can't do all these things, don't act like them, just be a woman. Here's what I found. God has used women to do great things. Amen? They are not lesser than, and men aren't greater than. God is the greatest, but He has an order for both of us. Can you deal with that teaching? And He said, and in that order we find life. And He goes on, He said, now wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Why? Because here's the problem. A lot of times women will come to Jesus and their husband won't come to Jesus yet. So how do you get your husband to Jesus? How many of y'all have seen? This is a dilemma, man. We deal with it here in this church all the time. Here comes mama, man, she knows Jesus. Those two kids, they're being exposed to the gospel. And here's a husband, he's kicked back on Saturday night. He's done gone through about 6 Bud Lights and he ain't budging on Sunday morning. Huh? Only thing he's interested in is who won the game. When do I go to work? And then he goes, I'm a good man, I gave her some money. We went to Walmart this weekend and went shopping. Everything's fine in my house, right? Now how in the world, if that's your situation, how in the world do you make influence? Do you go in and say, in the name of Jesus, may the demon in you be delivered? I've seen some women do stupid things like that. You know what's amazing? Nobody reads the Bible when they act like that. Because Jesus never acted like that. Which is, Jesus never went into a place demon hunting. He didn't go to the other side there in the Gospel of Mark in the 5th chapter and say, hey, dude with demons in the tomb, and come on down here so I can deliver you. He was not Bob Barker, he was Jesus Christ. And when he encountered the situation, he dealt with the situation, but he didn't call forth the situation. He dealt with it in everyday life. I mean, read the scripture. He says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your life. It's the way we live that brings on influence. Amen? Amen. I got some people in my life that I said, man, I want to be like them. How many of y'all have had at least one or two people who said, man, I want to be like that? Huh? Elizabeth's done this to me. I have to lift my wife up in this moment, not because I'm in the scripture text, but because she knows how to do this. I can be acting totally up, and sometimes I can act up, and she will not leave her reverence. Drives me crazy. Because then, first of all, guess what I know? I know she's right. I know she's in the truth of God. I know she's acting like a Christian, and I'm acting like something else. It's a farm animal. Okay. Now see, I'm just helping y'all understand what we really look like when we act like this. I'm hee-hawing. All right. And guess what she's doing? She's holding to reverence. When she holds to reverence, then what am I doing? I'm having to submit to whose way? Come on, whose way? Not hers, but now y'all got the point of the scripture. Here's what he said. Wives, live in such a way that your husband would have to deal with God. Wives, just heads up. You will never fuss a man into church. You'll never, will you? Mary, will they come? You can go, my gosh, you need to get up and go to church. Did you know you're going to hell? If you just nag them and fuss them and holler them and watch this, in critical spirit, just be careful. That's not submissive behavior. It doesn't profit us. Men, same way, don't badger your wives. Okay, watch this. Everything I'm saying for the women today applies to the role of the husband. Does that make sense? Amen. Watch this. How many of you men ever tried to tell a woman what to do? Now, that's like herding a cat. It ain't going to happen. It is not going to happen. There's a difference between a daughter and a son. I could tell Blake, come over here. He'd come over here. He's more like a good dog. When Clancy was little, I'd say, Clancy, come here. And she'd go. Stand there and put the stare down on you just to let you know, I don't have to do anything you want me to do. When you wanted her to act out and show folks that she could dance, she would be shy. When you wanted her to be shy, she would be loud. For what reason? To tell you, I'm not doing what you want me to do. Well, you see what I'm saying? It's not about us telling each other what to do. It's about us submitting to Jesus Christ so that we might become what we've really been designed to come. Once again, let me remind you, what is the driver of having family? To live out the full and abundant life that Jesus Christ has to offer. Why would you want to be married and just be miserable? Help me with this. Why do people get married to be miserable? Some people look so miserable married. They're just like, rah, 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 rah. How many of y'all have ever seen that? Robert, you ever seen that at the car wash? They get in a fight right before they get the car washed. Now, they ought to be happy to get their car washed. At least something's in order. Amen? Now, look what he says. Live in such a way that your reverence, your respect for God, your demeanor influences your husband. Now, here's what they're getting at. Do we live them in such a way that somebody else has got to start dealing with Jesus? That's the way you win your husband. Be consistent. Now, will they always be won over? No. Now, I want to note that because I don't want y'all to be frustrated. Sometimes y'all go, you know, you got this old knothead. The old knothead, you pray for him for 50 years, and he never comes to Jesus. There's a spiritual reason for that. He has the privilege to exercise his free will, and God Almighty will not interrupt his free will. So when you're praying for somebody, you're praying that they might be encouraged to make a good decision. You do not have the power to avoid their decision-making ability. So don't go frustrated. Whew. And watch this, this kind of applies to this. If you're at the house, if I'm in a bad mood, who calls that? Elizabeth. Right? In my what? In my mind. But who really calls that? Huh? I want to give you all something. If you don't get anything else out today, I want you to get this. Miserable people are miserable people because they choose to be miserable people. Don't spend your life trying to fix miserable people because then you will become a miserable person. You choose misery if you're following Jesus Christ. You got to choose it because at the worst of what could happen to me as a human being, the best life begins. There's always hope in those who follow Jesus Christ. You see, now this is when you get the Jesus thing going on in the everyday thing. How many of you wake up and your spouse is beautiful because Jesus made them beautiful? Your children got potential because Jesus said they had potential. You see, now you're getting this. Parent, how about parenting? How many of y'all found that to be a tough deal? Woo! That's fun, isn't it? How many of y'all believe this? If I just pack holy stuff in their head, they're never going to drink a beer. Yep. You better pray like Jesus prayed. Thy will be done in my child. Now, here's what I realized a long time ago. I told Blake when I was 14, when he was 14, not when I was 14, when he was 14. I told him, I said, there's nothing I can do that can stop you from being an idiot. I said, you got the ability to choose. And I said, I'm not going to babysit you for 24 hours. And I said, you can sneak around behind my back and you can do things that you've been taught not to do. Now, here's what will happen. I will provide consequences and I get to be a part of the work of the Lord when I find out what you've done. But guess what happens? Who's going to be the end result of that? He is. I just let him know up front when he was 14. Because I let him know at 18... See ya. And you ought to have the tools to live a successful life. And if you don't have the tools to live a successful life, then that would be my fault. But since you do have the tools to have a successful life, because I made an A, I can control what I make as a parent. I'm going to give you opportunity. I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to give you divine instruction. I'm going to give you guidance. I'm going to do my best. And now, am I going to be perfect? Absolutely not. How many of you parents have done stupid things in front of your kids? Me too. Absolutely. You know. One time I heard my child yelling. I wonder where they got that. Now, where'd they get that? How many of you parents do this? You just look at your kids. You know where you got it, but try to blow it off. And you know it's from your spouse's side of the family, right? That's what you do. There it is. That's the DNA that came from the other set of chromosomes right there. That's what's acting up. No, it's from behaviors you had, yeah. Order that you let get out of order. Amen. Let me tell you what. It is documented Ladies, let me help you. If you can't honor your husband's leadership and you have a male child, you don't have to tell anybody that you were out of order. That male child will be absolutely incapable of leadership. Don, I don't care how many Bill Hybels seminars they go to. Guess what? They became incapable at leadership from birth. So you won't train people into order. You got to watch this. Did it say train your husband here? You'd like to, I understand. But it said what? Submit to them so that they might listen to who? And who are we wanting each other to listen to ultimately? Come on, who are we wanting each other to listen to ultimately? Jesus! Watch this. If Elizabeth tells me, I'm going to evaluate it. If I tell her, she's going to evaluate it. If Jesus tells it to both of us, what happens now, Andy? Now we got a potential of a happening. Amen? You know, if Trish tells you something, you might consider it. If God tells you something through Trish, now what do you got to do? You got to do it. And that's what he's talking about in the scripture. Make sense? How many of y'all are getting this? You can't get out of order. Now, men, it's coming at us, too. Ladies, are y'all kind of got an image here? Am I being okay? Stone me if you need to. Okay, but here's what I'm saying. I can't back off of this. We got to be in order. And I'm proposing to you, in society, we've been out of order. We've been out of order a whole bunch of times. Okay? Watch this. Is a man a more effective leader than a woman? No. Not necessarily. But a lot of time a man's in that position. But let me tell you what. Who better be right there with her? If the man's the head, what's the head got to have? Every time. I could not have seen the things that I've seen in my life without my wife. There's no doubt about it. I'd have never got through school without my wife. I wouldn't have. I'd have quit. I'd been tired of it. We got married when we were really young, and she'd do this every night. Now, come on, you just need to write those papers. And just go there and write 5 pages. Turn it in tomorrow. I don't want to. She said, you know, it really doesn't matter. They got to have 5 pages. Well, I got to where I didn't care about school. But she encouraged me. Now, watch this. She didn't walk in and say, you big dummy. Now, that would have been a true statement, but she did not say it. She encouraged me to do what? Be successful. I think this is the ultimate in marriage. I think that we ought to encourage each other. Husbands ought to encourage wives, and wives ought to encourage husbands to be the best person God created him to be. How many of y'all can buy that as an idea of a healthy marriage? I think that's what it ought to be. And I think anytime we're trying to hamper either side of that equation, we're not doing what God wants us to do. I'll give you an example of this, and Earl and Cindy, I don't want to embarrass you all, but I think that you all have enhanced each other's lives for several decades. You know, y'all went through a war, depression, the whole bit, without a therapist. It's amazing. And now they're in their 80s, and guess what? They're in their 80s, and they're happy. I like it because they both dress up, too. They still dress snazzy. They don't dress, you know. Cindy dresses up, and Earl kind of goes, hey, girl. And Cindy will look at Earl and say, hey, you're handsome. I mean, I want to be like that. And y'all been married, what, 60 years now? 60-plus years. Amen? I don't know, it looks like it works to me. Earl, did you keep this in order? Yeah. Cindy? And you're smarter than Earl. But you've submitted to him and helped him do what? Be successful. And he's helped you what? Achieve. I mean, I just want to show you, there's living examples of this. This is not Steve Ayers talking to you. This is the order that God has established. It says, listen, I want you to live as a blessing in this world. And living a blessing is your marriage. And I'll tell you what, I think our marriages ought to illustrate that Jesus Christ is doing something great in our lives. The Bible pauses several times and says, hey, this marriage stuff is important. Now, ladies, guess what? God wants you to be beautiful. He wants you to bling. Amen? But guess what? I think in American culture, we put too much emphasis on the bling bling from the outside. Yo? How many of y'all would agree with that? I'm not saying you can't have nice things. I'm not saying that you can't keep yourself nice. You know, I know we got 14,000 different surgeries where you can be 80 years old now and look 16. Hey, if you can afford it, go for it. Hallelujah. But listen. Listen. Your beauty will never come from the outside. We spend a lot of time trying to fix up the curtain. And a lot of times, there's an attractive outside and an empty inside. And God doesn't want you to live that way. Now, and here's what he's saying. Look, he says, your beauty should come not from outward adornment, such as braided hair or wearing gold jewelry and fine clothes. Now, look at that scripture closely. Did he say you can't?
No.
You know, we got some parts of our religious tradition that say women can't wear any jewelry and they can't wear any makeup. I do not believe. Put it on, girlfriend.
That's
put
right.
it on.
Amen.
But remember this. It will never make you a beautiful woman.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, now watch this, ladies. Listen, I'm telling you something right now. You can be dressed to the nines, but if you got old sorry, naggy personality, wear a cloth sack, because that's what you look like. As soon as you open that mouth and you fussing and hollering, I'm just telling you straight up what the rest of us think. We are getting out of here. Just like when y'all see a man, he can be dressed to the nines. But if his personality is one where he is demanding and demeaning, what are you wanting to do? Come on, let's be honest. You want to get out of there. Make sense? And you should, because that's not the reverence the Lord has. Louis says, ladies, you have been given a preciousness that don't trade in the society. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For in this way, the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. Now, I don't think that's ever going to happen in the 21st century. And I don't think it's what he's saying, that you should run around and call your husband your master. Because that's not going to happen, is it? Is it, Elizabeth? Elizabeth's up here laughing. She's breaking out in holy laughter. That'd be cool walking the house. Master. Now, there is something that's never going to happen. Because really, if we think about it, guess what? We ought to call him master. Lord, are you mastering our house? Are you mastering our marriage? And so I just wanted to pause for just a second, because Sarah, remember, you had Abraham, you had Sarah. Sarah did a good job being a neck. She got Abraham out of trouble more than once. Amen? And Sarah, she had a tough job from God. You know, when you're in your 90s and the Lord says, I'm going to impregnate you, this is a little difficult to understand. And she did laugh, but how many of you all would laugh? Ladies, can you imagine? This is the job the Lord gives you. You know, you're in your 80s, you're waiting to die and go to heaven, and you end up being pregnant. We're going to raise a child for the next 40 years. If Elizabeth and I had a child right now, I would be devastated. You know? I'm thinking RV down the road, not cradle. But here's Sarah, 90 years old, and boom, she gets what? Pregnant. She brings in the people of God. She brings in the lineage of God. She brings in the Father of many nations. Through her line, the promise of salvation comes, Jesus Christ. Have you noticed? When you keep things in order, what happens? Great blessing. Here's what I'm telling you. When you really are in order, you automatically radiate. How many of y'all found that when your marriage is in the groove? Y'all, how many of y'all have those moments when it's in the groove? Please have at least a few. You know. I mean, you get up in the morning, you like your steel, it's there, it's in order. You can feel God's order moving in your marriage. Now watch this. Here's what we need to do. How many of y'all get it out of order because as soon as you feel it being out of order, you blame your spouse? I do. That's the first thing I do. If something's not going right in our marriage, I automatically blame Elizabeth. Guess where the fault is most of the time? Well, if the head's not looking in the right place, what does that do to the neck? It works both ways. A husband ought to have the eyes to see what God's wanting in their family. Eyes and head movement here, okay? But guess what? If that neck locks up, what can that head not do? How many of y'all ever woke up where you slept wrong on the pillow? Well, you looked around, how'd you look around? Now, watch this, you get your marriage out of order, doesn't it feel a lot like this? You're walking on eggshells, you can't move. But if you're in order, you can what? You can flow with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So be what's inner beauty, girls. How many of y'all got that? Inner beauty. Here's all I'm saying to you, and I'm not going to preach very long on this because I'm on a touchy subject here. I understand. And I will confess that I've read a lot more Outdoor Life and Field and Stream and Sports Illustrated than I have, you know, Beauty Today, 17, Cosmo, any of those things, all right? Look at here. Good. Look at here. Ladies, you are beautiful because Jesus is in you. And I just want to encourage you in this church, please do not go into this, I'm an ugly lady, and use the world's standards to judge your beauty. Amen. Use God's standards. He's made every one of you beautiful. Be beautiful in the Lord. Let that inner beauty shine out. Does that make sense? Amen. And it's tough in this culture. It's tough in this culture. But be beautiful from the inside. Bling from the inside, if I can use the term of our youth generation. Get a little bling on. How many of y'all got a little bling on? If you got a real shiny bracelet or necklace on, what are the kids going to call it? Bling. You got some bling. Well, guess what God's saying? You need to get some bling from the inside. Now, this is what most men feel like they're like, and we're going to close on this. Most men think that they can do it like this. So if you'll take a look at this. And so, Ben, if you're going to demand dinner on the table, I'm sure that your mother will provide that for you. How many of y'all have heard that? A man must be in control. The Bible really doesn't tell us to be in control. It tells us to be in leadership. There's a big difference because leadership, I find most of the time, is release, not control. Think about it. True, good leadership is to release people to their full potential, not control people to your potential. Which is, look at husbands in the same way. Guess what you're supposed to do? It says husbands in the same way. That means everything that we've talked about with the ladies. Be submissive to your wives. Watch it. How many of you husbands had this? You follow Jesus, but your wife hasn't come to Christ yet. Well, you got to be a living example of what it means to follow Christ, and that will encourage her to what? Want to engage in a relationship with Christ. It says, in the same wise, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Now, listen, ladies, don't freak out. It did not say less intelligent. It said what? Most of the time, physically, a female's going to be what? Not as strong. That's designed. Okay? That's designed. That's what that God made. I don't want Elizabeth to bench press 550 pounds. I don't want her to have hair on her chest. I don't want her to have a beard. She's made as a what? Woman. Now, guess what, man? I want to show you something. Some of y'all are going to go, he's just an old-fashioned Southern boy. Well, you're right. But an old-fashioned Southern boy that loves Jesus, and I think this is biblical. Men are to take care of ladies. That means respect. That also means guardianship over what God has made them to be. That's why a man should never hit a woman ever. Amen. Ever. I don't care if you're a pastor. Here's what I get in today's time. Pastor, she hit me. Good gosh. What kind of man are you if you get hit by a woman and it hurts you? Now, God made Chevy, Ford, GMC. He made a truck for you to get into and drive off if it gets that heated. Men, don't you ever strike a woman. Ever. Ever. And don't walk that stuff into my office trying to find mercy, because you will never find mercy. Not from your pastor. Never should a man strike a woman. Why? Not a fair fight. You know, I'm 6'2", well over 100 pounds. And we're not supposed to be fighting anyway. We're supposed to be what? Blessing. Loving. I like it. Hey, all over here. Look at the Gary and Charlene over there. Going to be a good afternoon for them in the house. Look at here. They've had a sermon on marriage. Order. Blessing. Husbands, listen. That means this. Encourage your wife to be successful. I believe that's part of it. Amen? Yeah, and it works. Watch this. How many of you husbands sometimes feel like, well, man, I'm not. Well, I'll give you an example. Let's academically, who do you think's more inclined in our house between our marriage, between Elizabeth and myself? Absolutely. I told you, when she graduated, she had lamp cords hanging off her robe. I was just thanking God to be in a robe. Yeah, we got ready to graduate from high school. I said, how come you got all them cords and I didn't get no cords? Those are lamb cords. I said, what are you doing with lamb cords around your neck? And she said, that's for Beta Club and stuff. I said, what's Beta Club? I was glad to have my purple robe on and that funny hat they give you. And they said I could leave and didn't have to come back. This was a good day in my life. Was it navy blue? Oh, it was navy blue. I thought it was still purple back then. It was blue? I thought it was Northwestern purple. Blue. All right, it's blue. See, I didn't even know what color robe I had on when I graduated. How's that help you? We graduated from Western, and guess what? She still had them lamb cords on there. I had a black robe on then, and I turned it in too early, and your mother got mad. She wanted to take a picture of me graduating. That surprised her. See? Now look. Lift up people and help each other excel. Have I emphasized that to you? What do you think? How many of y'all can dig that as marriage? That really ought to be the key to marriage. Now let me ask you a question, and we're going to close right here. If we in the Church of Jesus Christ lived our marriages with that kind of intensity, do you think that would influence others in the gospel? Huh? I'm telling you, man, this is the way people come to the gospel. They don't come to the gospel by shoving Bibles and tracts in their face. I'm telling you, the world is so tired of hearing us preach. They are wore out with our stuff. In fact, I really do believe this. I think the church needs to quit advertising and start living it. You know, we've been in the broadcast business way too long. We need to get in the real life business. And our marriages ought to look like they follow Jesus Christ. He says, hang in there. Husbands, do the same stuff. Love your wives and protect her. Respect. And as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Now, I want you to note this. I did not see this until I prepared this sermon. I believe in prayer. How many of y'all believe in prayer? Amen. Carolyn, you're going to find this. Sister. I didn't see this. I've read this passage all my life and did not see this till this week. How many of y'all want to have an effective prayer life? The Bible tells us we can't if our household's out of order. I got to think, I said, well, man, maybe that's why a lot of these prayer groups are ineffective. Because I hear them praying all the time and nothing happens. You know why? I bet their household's out of order. Because look what it says. It says, husbands, listen, you can go to men's ministry on Wednesday night so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Do you know what that's actually saying in that scripture? You can go through the religious exercise, but if you don't have the religious practice in order in your house, you are hindered. Man, how many preacher has that yielded ineffective? I got a list. I won't tell you their names. But I can tell you a lot of my colleagues that their house was out of order. Their wife, I mean, as soon as she told them something, they started ducking. I can't imagine being scared of Elizabeth. But watch this. I can't imagine Elizabeth being demanding. She's always been encouraging. Elizabeth's never come in and told me, this is what you're going to do. Because she knew even if it was a good idea, I was going, I ain't. Because she said what? She's an intelligent person. She wanted to get the action going on, not the recognition going on. Big difference. Big difference. Make sense? Husbands, love your wives in the same way that Jesus Christ has loved the church. Ephesians 5. It works. Amen? All right. Did I actually teach today? Man, that's of God. That's the first time I've not broke out just preaching, you know? What do you think, Marley? And I tell y'all, I hope y'all got it, because I'm glad that sermon's over, to tell you the truth. All right, hey, it's tough when we deal with these issues, but we got to deal with the issues, and we got to deal with them honestly. Now, don't be offended. Be evaluated. In my house, am I living in such a way that I bless my spouse? Am I living in such a way, if I'm married, in a marriage context, that people would find Jesus Christ? Watch this. I think this applies to dating. If I am dating, am I dating in such a way that people would know that I know Jesus Christ? If I'm living among people, hanging out at work, Do people know I know Jesus Christ without me having to say a whole lot? That's where it all takes place. Amen? Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then it would be absolutely impossible for you to do this. Would you agree with me? How many of y'all have ever tried to be a follower of Jesus Christ without having Jesus Christ in your life? Now, there's a killer. Because it's impossible. And so, guess what? Jesus Christ would love to join with you all today and put you in absolute divine order. Here's what the divine order looks like. Jesus loves you and has come into your life. Okay? He's forgiven you of all of your sins. You say, well, how in the world do I get that done? You ask Christ. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Now what's going to happen to you? If you're totally forgiven in the inside, man, tell me what your inner beauty looks like. Wow. You say, well, how do I get that inside of me? You tell Jesus, I realize, just like Barry told us today, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that Jesus died for my sins. I realize that Jesus has risen from the grave. And I want to be, guess what, done with the way I used to live and in an opportunity to live a totally different way. That comes in Jesus Christ. Amen. Been clear on that? It'll change everything about you. So let's just do a quick review. So because I have Jesus Christ in my life, my workplace life changes. The way I relate to my friends changes. The way I practice my marriage changes. And as we flow on down there, the way I raise my children will change. Isn't that amazing? All of it changes. And the Lord agrees. Did you hear that? He confirmed that truth today. Let's stand together, all right? Lord, as we come to this altar, we may need to pray over our marriages. Lord, I just want to thank you that you've been very clear to us today in this message, Lord. You really have. And Lord, I thank you for this congregation for putting up with me, because at times I've given them a great illustration of being a husband, and at times I've given them a disastrous illustration of being a husband. But Lord, I want to thank you because you're the perfect Lord. God, you can teach us how to be the greatest wife we need to be. You can teach us how to be the greatest husband we need to be. You can teach us how to have the most full and abundant life marriage ever dreamed possible. Lord, your spirit guides our children and you bless our hearts. But we pray right now, if there's one person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that right now you would pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I repent of them. And Lord, I ask you to come into me and forgive me, because I do believe you died for me and you live in me. Lord, I want to receive you. I want to get rid of my sinful life and take up my forgiven one. Maybe today you looked at your marriage and said, Lord, you know, if you got your husband with you, you may want to just elbow him and say, honey, sometimes I'm sorry for not listening. And then he needs to put his arm around you and say, you know what, honey, sometimes I'm sorry for not speaking in such a way that you would be lifted up. Let's put them in order and see what God does with this place. So this altar is open for you to come and just pray and touch base with God, to be healed, to reflect, and to give thanks. Amen? So the altar's open. You all come right now if you need to come. God's moving. Let him move. Let him move. Come on, let's worship.